We will open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians to begin with this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. I guess I should go there too, huh? Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to read verses 17 through 20. It says there, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And I actually read one more verse than I meant to, but you get the gist. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful for this day, and we are thankful for hymns and songs and anthems that we can sing. Even our national anthem, Lord, thank you that they are encouragement to us. They can teach us. They can even bring us to a different place in time, depending upon the song. But thank you for that. And we thank you for a song that we're going to be looking at in David's life this morning. Just ask your blessing upon our time and your word. Again, may it be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Ephesians passage said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to all or for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 16, even as Paul and Silas were in jail, it says that they were praying and singing hymns to God. Music is powerful. It can serve to teach. It can serve to encourage. It can serve to stir feelings and emotion within us. Anybody get emotional during the national anthem just now? I didn't expect it, but it happened to me. I requested that we sing the national anthem this morning because an anthem is actually a hymn designed to help us remember God. That is the actual definition of an anthem. Our national anthem is designed to help us remember how this country came to be. But perhaps, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, perhaps you may not know that there are three other verses to our national anthem. Okay? Perhaps you may not know that the last verse reads thus: "Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave." That's part of our national anthem. That is a part that we never hear sung anymore in our country. And I left it out intentionally this morning so they wouldn't steal my thunder right now, okay, in this illustration. So I could let you know that our anthem, our national anthem, is designed to help us remember God. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning, an anthem in 2 Samuel chapter 22. So if you will turn there now. 2 Samuel chapter 22. If we continue our series through these lessons in the life of David. Music is powerful. There are many songs that when I hear them, they immediately bring my thoughts back to a place and time in my life. The National Anthem, believe it or not, is a song that brings me back to my first grade class, because we would actually sing it every single day before school began. But songs bring us back. Anybody here know the song Catch a Falling Star? All right, as sung by Andy Williams. That's the version I remember. But when I hear Andy Williams sing Catch a Falling Star and Put It in Your Pocket, it brings me back to my earliest, very earliest childhood memories. Okay, Where's the Playground, Susie? Who sang that? Glenn Campbell. That song, it wasn't even one of his greatest hits, okay? But that song brings me back to a family vacation many, many summers ago. The Hotel California by the Eagles. All right, we're getting into a little bit more of a familiar genre for many of us, okay? Brings me back to a summer with friends. The Sound of Silence, okay, Simon and Garfunkel, yeah. That brings me back to my mom. She would play that their greatest hits over and over and over again. The Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. All right, maybe stepping out of some of your realm now, okay? But that song brings me back to the dating years of Janine and I. Draw the Line by the rock group Aerosmith brings me back to Janine and my wedding reception. It's a long story. Amanda, our daughter, is named after a song by Boston called Amanda. That's who she's named after. Let's see. Amazing Grace brings me back to the day of my salvation. A song called Unbounded Grace. We sang it here a little over a month ago. Brings me back to the time when I was called here. And I would imagine that maybe even some of these songs this morning, as I mentioned them, made songs pop in your head, and immediately you were transported back to a time and place in your life. Music is powerful like that. It is powerful. It is special. Music was special to David. You see, along with being a man of war and probably, well, not probably, the greatest earthly king that Israel has ever known, David was also a man of music. At least half of the book of Psalms was written by David. By God's empowerment and inspiration, he was a master musician and lyricist. But of all of David's Psalms, there are only three, at least as far as what I could find, there are only three of his Psalms that appear outside of the book of Psalms and in connection with the narrative of his life. One of them is his eulogy of King Saul. Another is a song of thanksgiving as the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem. And the third, again, as far as I could find, is right here, 2 Samuel chapter 22. And with that, let me read 2 Samuel chapter 22, let me read verse 1 to you. It says, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." Now, King Saul has been dead a long time. King David has been king for a long time. He is creeping up on 70 years of age now. And here is what I believe verse 1 is telling us. This song, hymn, anthem that we're about to read is a song that I believe David probably wrote some time ago before what we're looking at here. Perhaps all the way back to a time when David first became king. It appears that this is a song that David would actually sing or at least recite as God delivered him from his enemies. It appears that this is a song that had become an anthem for David. Psalm 18 is probably a rendition of the anthem that we find here in chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. And it was adapted there for corporate worship. But it was an anthem to remember God and his great work. And right now, David needed that reminder. Over the past years, his family had been torn apart. If you've been with us through this series, you know that his family has been torn apart by sin. We didn't read it last week, but in chapter 21, the land has just gone through a three-year famine. And then to top it off, as we enter this chapter, the Philistines, including some of the descendants of the giant Goliath, were making war with Israel again. But even though David himself was too old and too exhausted to fight, God gave Israel the victory. And so David sings to his God. And as we work our way through some of the select lyrics in this anthem, I pray that it would remind us, as it did David, of really just how dependent we are and have been and will be upon our God. Our subject this morning is David's anthem, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Now, because I like them so much, I'm going to be borrowing actually my main points this morning from Chuck Swindoll's commentary on this anthem. But the first point and the first reminder for us this morning, the first thing that David calls to memory through this anthem is this: God is our only protection. God is our only protection. We may buy car insurance. We might buy extended warranties. We might buy health coverage, buyer protection. We may buy a security system. We may buy guns, okay? But the fact of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, in this world, God is the only real protection that you and I have. Don't drop your insurance. Ron and Andrew Bird would be upset with me if you did. There is a purpose for it, okay? But really, God is the only real protection that you and I have in this world. Listen to how David puts it in verses 2 through 4. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." I read about an insurance company in Macomb County, Michigan. Is that where you're from, Lauren? Macomb County?
No.
All right. Not connected to her, okay? But back in April of this year, it was found out that they, for years, have been selling insurance policies. A business in Macomb County, okay, had been selling insurance policies to its customers that were completely and utterly fake. They had the right paperwork. The people filled it all out. They just never submitted and just collected the premiums, okay? Never actually filed the policy. A fake unavailable, uncaring promise of protection is what that is. And in this sin-cursed world where lots of promises are made, but hypocrisy is natural, where help is offered, but it's superficial or temporary or entirely fake, where many people act like they care, in reality, many care more about themselves. And for that reason, God is our only real protection. He's the only one that we can truly trust. Why? Well, first of all, the Lord is authentic, all right? He is real, real protection. And in these first verses, David uses, as you've noticed, some really great words to describe not only the authenticity of God, the realness of Him, but His trustworthiness. He's my rock. He is my fortress, my deliverer. In fact, that word deliverer is a key word throughout this entire anthem. David says that when I need deliverance, God is the person I call. Okay, when I need deliverance, He's the one that I call. He's talking about God almost like we use the term for our doctor, or our barber, or an accountant. Okay, when I need a good haircut, He's the guy I call. Well, when I need deliverance, this is the only person I will go to, is God. He's the only one, my deliverer. He's authentic. Secondly, the Lord is available, unlike our doctor, our barber, or accountant. Unlike even our best friends sometimes, the Lord is always available. Look at verse 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry entered His ears. He hears us every time, anytime. We cry out to our Redeemer, and He hears us. God is not some distant, hard-to-get-a-hold-of person who does not have time for us. He is a personal God who is always close enough that we can talk to Him anytime. He hears us. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That is how available He is. He hears us. He cares. He cares about the things that you and I are going through. Even the simple things. I don't think there's a single problem with praying for lost keys. He's not too busy for us. He hears and He cares even about the small things, and especially about the big things. How do we know? Well, He moves. He hears, He cares, He moves. Upon David crying out for help, look at verses 8 and 9. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because He was angry. Smoke went up from His nostrils and devouring fire from His mouth. Coals were kindled by it. Drop down to verse 17. And He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. In David's times of need, as David cried out to God, God was instantly available. He heard David's cry. He cared about what David was going through. And He was even angered. Nostrils, smoke, okay? Angered that someone would bring distress upon one of His children. Can you imagine? He moved. God came to the rescue. 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." The Lord is authentic. The Lord is available. But here is why. And here's, I think, the best part. The Lord is adoring. He adores us. Listen to verse 20. "He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." We, as God's children, we who have trusted in his Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, delight him and he adores us. Even when we are in a place of despair, even when we are in a place of hurting, in a place of tribulation, a place of temptation, a place of opposition, when we are even opposing him, even when we are in a dark place, the Lord adores us. He hears us. He cares. He's available. And by his grace, he wants to give us peace. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He goes on, he says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And in David's anthem here, he remembered that. He remembered that God is our only real protection in this world. But secondly, he also remembered that God is our only light. He is our only light. We live in a dark world. We're in agreement here? It's a pretty dark place that we live in. And God is not only our only protection in it, but he is our only light. Up at Bible camp on Cedar Mountain, it seems that each year as we go up there for the summer, as all the pastors are up there for the camp season, at some point during those weeks that we are up there, we will talk about flashlights. They are very needed up at camp. After the generator is shut off, they are our only source of light up there. But each year, there is a bit of a competition as to who has the newest, brightest, best dark penetrating flashlight. Well, I, for one, have not given in to that immaturity. Here is my flashlight. Now, don't be blinded by it, okay? Be careful. Close your eyes as it comes by. Now, you may laugh, okay, but even on the darkest nights, in fact, especially on the darkest nights, moonless, cloud-covered nights, this little light of mine gives me all of the light that I need to get from point A to point B. Now, I can't see point B from point A with this little light of mine, but I can see the next steps. And it takes me right back to my camper. And of course, as I said that, you all immediately thought of Psalm 119:105, which says, "God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word, Jesus Christ, really, he is the word of God, okay? God's word gives us only and exactly the light that we need for the next step, much like my flashlight, okay? God's word was David's light. It gave him step-by-step direction. Look at verse 22. He says, and we're talking about, keep in mind, the connection between God's word and the light. He says, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." This verse, by the way, is one reason that I think that this was an anthem that, David wrote some time ago. Okay, because in recent years, if you've been with us through this series, David has done some things lately that have been contrary to God's word. And he had departed from the Lord in a few areas. And this anthem here is now reminding him of the obedience of his past and the blessings that came from it. God's word was David's light. And God's word is still David's light. Look at verse 29. He says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness, for by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over a wall." The beauty of this anthem is that regardless of the darkness David now be in, it reminds him of his only light. Okay, here are some interesting things about God's light. First of all, it shines only upon our next steps. It doesn't shine so far into the future that we can see the end of things. Now, in God's word, the light, we can go look into like the book of Revelation and see God's ultimate victory. But for you and I in our lifetime, we can't see really the end of things in our life, okay? It gives us just enough light that we can know God's direction right now. David says, "Far enough that I can advance against an enemy troop." Doesn't know if he's going to win that battle or not, but it shines far enough that he can advance against it. Far enough that I won't stumble as I leap over an obstacle. Why do you suppose it does not shine far into the future? I believe it's so that we will just trust God. So it shines only upon our next steps. It also stands out in a dark world. The light of God does not illuminate the whole world. It encompasses us. The world being a dark, sinful place, when light shines, when our light shines in it, people notice. People notice. They are drawn to it. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. All right, there I finished it. It stands out in a dark world, and it shields all who trust in it. Look at verse 31. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." The key word in this verse right here really is the word proven. Your translation might read tried or tested or even flawless, but it basically says that God's word is pure and true. And it is a shield to those who will trust in it, because no matter what lies or what deceit or what darkness ever comes against the truth, the truth is still true. One cannot attack the truth with a lie and win. You can't. God's word shields those who trust in it. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." God is our only protection. God is our only light. And next in David's anthem, we are reminded that God is our only strength. It is interesting to me, it doesn't surprise me, but it is interesting to me that the further this country departs from the Lord, the weaker we become in the world. Not just seen as weak, but truly weak in our influence. where the USA used to be a beacon of strength and justice and prosperity and freedom, we as a nation have become weak, corrupt, poor, and constrained. And it's because we no longer praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation, as our national anthem says. And in these next verses, David remembers his source of strength in many areas of his life. He remembers that he is only what he is because of God and his strength. First of all, God supplies spiritual strength. Verses 32 and 33. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. If we have success in our spiritual walk, it is only because of our yieldedness, our submissiveness to God and his strength. In fact, Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of God, his power. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So God supplies spiritual strength. God supplies physical strength. Verses 34 and 35. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. If we have physical success, that means strength for the day, strength when we need it. It is only because of God. He supplies mental strength. Verse 40. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. And I believe that David is talking less about physical strength here and more about the wisdom that God supplies in battle. David was a man of war, and right here he is giving God the credit for his victories in battle. God gave David the mental capacity that brought him victory over his foes. And really, a perfect example of that was back in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel. Through a very unorthodox battle plan, God gave David a victory. They didn't move by sight in that battle. They moved strictly by sound, by faith in God. God supplies governing strength. Verses 44 and 45. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. What was the old investment firm commercial from 1979. We'll see how many of you know this. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. All right. Well, King David understood that even his own people would not listen to him nor obey him if it were not for God. Let alone foreigners obeying him. And then God supplies triumphant strength, verse 49. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. If we have victory in this life, it is because of God. David understood and wrote this anthem so that he could remember that he is only what he is, who he is, because of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. In Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 1:16-17 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. God is our only protection, our only light, our only strength, and then lastly, God is our only hope. He is our only hope. Verses 50 and 51. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. David's anthem reminds him and it reminds us of the hope we have forevermore only because of God. Imagine a man who has an addiction that continues to get the best of him. He can't seem to keep his job. His wife doesn't respect him. His children are rebellious and out of control. And to top it off, some of his best friends have stabbed him in the back and taken advantage of him. As you imagine a man like that, what kind of future do you see for him? What kind of attitude would you expect him to have? One might expect him to be bitter, to be angry, to be resentful, to be hateful. You ever known a person like that? I used to have one as a boss. But I'm actually talking about David. I'm talking about David. David went through all of that. And after all David has been through because of God, he is not angry, he is not bitter, he is not hateful. He says, I give thanks to you, O Lord, and sing praises to your name, for you are my tower of salvation, and you will show me mercy. God is the only real source of David's hope. And only because of God and his promises to David could David confidently know and say, God will be my victory. Through whatever comes my way, God is and will show me mercy. He will show me love, kindness. Regardless of how grim things may look right now, David had hope because God promised him the ultimate victory. And if we, like David, will trust God, we can have that kind of confident hope of our future as well. Regardless of how grim things may look right now, but without God, there is no hope. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, I'm about done here, says, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become our high priest forever. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? God is our only hope, our only strength, our only light, our only protection. As my children were growing up, there came times in their life when a task that we as parents had always done for them was met with the phrase, I can do it. I can do it myself, right? And then they would take over, at least try to take over, feeding themselves or dressing themselves or tying their own shoe, riding a bike, driving a car. I can do it myself. That is not only a common saying we might hear from a child who is striving to be independent in this world, but it is a saying. It is a saying that man, in pride and arrogance, begins then to believe concerning things he was never meant to do himself. Provide for my needs? I can do it myself. Raise my family? Just leave me alone. I can do it myself. Bear this trial? Just leave me alone. I'll do it myself. Maintain this nation? We can do it ourselves. Get to heaven? I can do it myself. And just like with my children, after they struggled with that shoelace for 20 minutes, finally said, "Daddy, I need help." I pray that you and I would come to that conclusion about God in every single aspect of our lives. Lord, I need you because you are my only protection. You are my only light, my only strength, and my only hope. And I pray that David's anthem this morning reminded us, as it did David, of just how dependent we really are upon our God. And by the grace of God, we are what we are. Since we no longer have the melody to David's anthem, I want us to close this morning with perhaps the greatest Christian anthem of our day, Amazing Grace. And I pray that it would remind us of just how dependent we have been, we are, and will be upon our Lord. In fact, I'm just going to have the music team come up right now, and we're going to sing this as our closing prayer. Think upon the words that we're going to sing all the verses, but think upon the words in this song and sing them to God as a prayer. And when the song is over, we are just dismissed.